Now, the truth is, this concludes the portion of Perek Ve'elu Megalchin that talks about writing on Chol HaMoed. And really, the sugya of writing on Chol HaMoed is a very, very big sugya. In fact, I was talking to Rabbi Bienenfeld, and he was telling me that we covered doing malach on Chol HaMoed, we covered tefillin on Chol HaMoed, we covered shaving on Chol HaMoed, and really the one thing we still need to cover is writing on Chol HaMoed. Stating that it's not something that we're going to go into today, maybe in the coming days, although the sugyas are coming heavy, so it's not mistaber that we're going to be able to find time. So Be'ezus Hashem, Oid Chazoy L'moyed, we're going to have to go through this whole noisei. But Pata B'lai Klumi Yafshir, just one Ma'ar Makam that's worth mentioning, literally a Mishnah Brura, that's it. And that is, it's in Hilchas Chol HaMoed, it's in Simen Tav Kuf Mem Hei. That's where the sugyas of Dinei Ksiva B'Chol HaMoed are. Again, it's a very, very Gishmak is sugi with a whole bunch of interesting nuances. And that is, in Simen Tavkuf Mem Hei, Sivkat and Tes, the Mechaber says as follows. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Vim Shama Dvar Chiddush. If a person has a Chiddush in Torah, Mutul Kaisva, you're allowed to write it on Chol HaMoed, Kedeshul Yishkach, so you shouldn't forget it. V'chein Imra Sefer Mechodesh. Or if somebody sees a new Sefer, Mutul Hatikoi. You're allowed to sit and you're allowed to copy the sefer. In the event that you're not going to be able to print it after Chol HaMoed. Which, by the way, that's fascinating insight into the way the world once was. Before there were copy machines and before it was easy to mass produce svarim, so if somebody saw a sefer, he saw a manuscript, he would sit down and he would copy it. Simply it's like this, he should have it. So says the Shulchan Aruch, again, this is the Mechaber talking, this is a very long time ago. So he says that a person is allowed to write a Dvar Chiddush on Chol HaMoed, and not just that, if a person sees a sefer and he wants to have a copy of it, and the only way he's going to have a copy of it is if he does it old school, he literally copies it word for word, then it's something that he would be allowed to do. Says the Mishnah Brura, what's the reason for it? So he says the reason is because we know that even though you're not allowed to do malach on Chol HaMoed, there are times you're allowed to. And what is the most notable exception to the rule of when you're allowed to do malach on Chol HaMoed? If it's a dovera of it. So says the Mishnah Brura, he says that if a person has a chiddush and he's afraid that he's going to forget the chiddush, or he's not going to have time after yontif to sit down and properly write the chiddush, or if a person sees a sefer and he doesn't know if he'll ever be able to get the sefer unless he sits and he writes it down on Chol HaMoed, so up the Mishnah Brura, ein lecha dovera of a gadol mizeh. This is the greatest example of a dovera of it. So the Masechta began with a case of dovera of it, mashkim beis hashlochin. It's very nice, you have a field, and it relies on irrigation, and right now the field is dry, and you're worried you're going to lose your crops, so therefore you have a whole sugya of mashkin beis hashlochim, that you're allowed to figure out a way to be mashkin beis hashlochim. It's like this, you shouldn't lose it, why? And even though to be mashkin is a told of chayresh, the told of zeireya, machloik is rabin, rabbi yosef, that bezam and bezam, asachtis my cotton, but for a dovera of it, we let the farmer put his boots on, go out into the field, and work. Why? Because it's dovera of it. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if that's considered dovera of it, losing crops in your field, can you imagine if a person loses a sefer or a chiddush, something that can change fundamentally his ruchnius? Ein locha dovera ove gadol mizeh. So says the Chafetz Chaim, is a pashet ha'alocha, if mashkin beis ha'shlochim v'moyed, kal v'chaymer ben b'noishol, kal v'chaymer, em shoma dvar chiddush, mutter l'koisvoy. It's interesting, the Mishnah Brura then brings, ve'hi idu al habach, they say edus about the bach, that the Bach wrote the Sefer Bach on Chol HaMoed. Not to digress, really. Not to digress. When we spoke out the tshuva from the Rosh, the one with Lahavdil, November 22nd. So in that tshuva, the Rosh wrote a tshuva where it hadn't rained throughout the whole winter and into Pesach, and he wanted that they should continue saying the same Talamatul of Racha, they should continue saying Mashav Racha Moed Hagashem. So on Chol HaMoed Pesach, the Rosh sat down and he wrote his tshuva. And he writes at the end, this is the last line, V'leho yisi koisev b'chol HaMoed. That really, I would not have written this tshuva on Chol HaMoed, ki lo hurgalti b'kach. Because my minhag always was not to write even Torah on Chol HaMoed. Elo shetzorech hashohu, v'pnei chil al Hashem shamayim, v'gam yesh b'dover hazeh, k'tsas mitzorech HaMoed. Number one, it's a chil al Hashem. And number two, there's a little bit of an Indian of tzorech HaMoed. Now we're learning my cotton, we can appreciate this a little bit better. Tzorech HaMoed, that's one of the exceptions to the rule. That's what the Rosh is invoking, a whole sif cotton in Shulchan Aruch. That when it's tzorech HaMoed, it's something that you're allowed to write. But the Rosh said that number one, tzorech HaMoed, that was really number two, number one was chil al Hashem. So you have to know where chil al Hashem plays listening to the heter, meaning what, under which exception to the rule does that fall into? Or maybe that's a whole other thing. But either way, the Bach wrote his pirush on Chol HaMoed. The Rosh really didn't want to write a tshuva on Chol HaMoed. Fascinating topic. But the point is that you're allowed to write Torah on Chol HaMoed. And the reason is because, like the Mishnah Berurah says, Ein lecha davar ha'aved gadol mizeh.